This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, in today's khutbah, we have with us, inshallah ta'ala, a guarantee. A guarantee to enter into Jannah, inshallah ta'ala. And this guarantee, it's not from me. It's from our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who told us in the hadith alayhi salatu wasalam, "Adminu li sittan min anfusikum, admin lakum al-jannah." Promise me six things from yourself, and I will promise for you the Jannah. Now all we have to do to get this guarantee is to fulfill these six things, inshallah ta'ala. And as we mention and discuss these six things, I want each one of us to reflect on his own situation, to see where are we when it comes to these six things. Are we implementing them? Are we close to them? Are we far away from them? He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, in this hadith, which was narrated by Imam Ahmed, and Imam Al-Hakim, and Imam Ibn Hibban, from the hadith of Ibadah ibn Samit, اضمن لي ستا من أنفسكم أضمن لكم الجنة. To guarantee me six from yourself, and I will guarantee for you the Jannah. He said, أصدقوا إذا حدثتم. The first thing. Be truthful when you speak. وَأَوْفُوا إِذَا وَعْتُمْ. And to fulfill your promises if you make promises. وَأَدُّوا إِذَا تُمِنْتُمْ. And to give the trust. If you're insured with something, to fulfill that trust. وَأَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَكُمْ. And protect your private parts. وَغُضُّوا أَبْصَارَكُمْ. And lower your gaze. وَكُفُّوا أَيْدِيَكُمْ. And control your hands from harming anyone else. Six things. If we implement them in our lives, we have a guarantee from our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to enter into the Jannah. أُصْدُقُوا إِذَا حَدَّثْتُمْ. Be truthful when you speak. And because of the importance of a sidq and being truthful in Islam, it's mentioned about 92 times in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Oh, you have believed, fear Allah and be with the truthful. Be with those who are truthful. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith, which was narrated in Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he showed us, alayhi salatu wasalam, the outcome of being truthful and the outcome of lying. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that inna sidq yahdi ila albir. That truthfulness, it guides to albir. And albir, it's all forms of good. So when you're truthful, it's going to guide you to all forms of good. But it doesn't stop there. وَإِنَّ الْبِرْ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. And this bir, this goodness, it guides to the Jannah. وَلَا يَزَالُ الرَّجُلُ يَصْدُقُ حَتَّى يُكْتَبْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ صَدِّيقًا. And the person will continue to be truthful until he's written down in front of Allah as a truthful person. He's written down as a truthful person with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what truthfulness does. And this is what it guides us to. And what about lying? What happens when the Muslim lies? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the same hadith, he said, وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَالْكَذِبِ. Beware of lying. Stay away from lying. Why? Because what is the outcome? What's going to happen if we lie? He said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, فَإِنَّ الْكَذِبِ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْفُجُورِ. That the kadhib, it will guide you to fujur, which is all forms of evil. وَإِنَّ الْفُجُورِ يَهْدِي إِلَى النَّارِ. And the fujur, this evilness, it guides to the hellfire. وَلَا يَزَلُ رَجُلُ يَكْذِبُ حَتَّى يُكْتَبْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ كَذَّابًا. That the person will continue to lie until he's written down with the law that he's a liar. The person who's lying, he'll be known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as so-and-so, the kadhab, the liar. But the one who's truthful, he's known as the sadiq one, the truthful one. This is the outcome of telling the truth and the outcome of lying. And we might ask ourselves, how can we train ourselves in order to be truthful? Wallahi, this hadith we mentioned is enough. If you sit and you reflect on the outcomes of lying and the outcomes of being truthful, the hadith we just mentioned in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, it's enough. And you know as well that if you fulfill being truthful with the other six things, other five things, that you enter into the Jannah. And beware of lying. And the dangers of lying. In the hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he saw those who were being tortured. He saw in his dream those who were being tortured. And he said, who are they? Who are they? At the end of the dream, when the angels explained to him who these people were, one of them, how was he being tortured? They said that his cheek was being ripped back all the way to his ears. And then it would heal and it would be ripped back again. He said, who are these people? He said, they said that they are the ones that tell the lie. And then it's believed and it's spread around the earth. And this is particularly important in the days that we live in. The days of social media. When one person puts something online and then it spreads like wildfire. So before we put any false information, or before we are sure about this information, even when it comes to Islamic information, how many times we go back to people and we tell them, Yahi, what is this post you posted? What is this tweet? What is this on your Facebook? He said, it's a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Are you sure it's authentic before you spread it? Before you send it out to thousands of people on WhatsApp? I got it. And what it is now, we want to be the first one who sends it out. We don't even authenticate, we just send it, quick, shoot it out. And then you come back, you say, the hadith is not just daif, it's mawdu', it's fabricated, it's a lie about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How many cases have we seen? And what does Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say about these individuals who spread lies about him? He said, alayhi salatu wa sallam, man kathaba alayya muta'ammidan, falyatabawwa maq'aduhu minan nar. That whoever purposely lies about me, then let him prepare his seat in the hellfire. So before you put out things on social media, make sure that it's authentic. Make sure that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it. Make sure it's in accordance to Islam. Don't just spread information. The second thing that if we do, we have a promise inshallah ta'ala to enter into the Jannah. He said alayhi salatu wa sallam, وَأَوْفُوا إِذَا وَعْتُمْ. To keep your promises, to fulfill your promises. Allah commands us in the Quran, وَأَوْفُوا بِالْعَهْدِ إِنَّ الْعَهْدَ كَانَ مَسْئُولًا. And to fulfill your commitments, because you're going to be questioned about your commitments. Every commitment that you make, every promise that you make, you're going to be questioned about it when you stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Muslim needs to train himself to never make a promise, never commit to anything unless you can do it. No matter how small it might be. Even in our households. When you tell your family you're going to do something, you do it. You tell your wife you're going to take her to the market, it becomes compulsory upon you. If you're not sure you can do it, say, I'll tell you later. Say, I can't commit right now. Let me just look at my schedule. I'll tell you if I can do it after Jummah on Friday or not. Even with your children, we train ourselves to only commit to what we can do. A beautiful story. One of our scholars, he said he was going to a lecture, and his son came up to him and he said, Baba, I want you to buy me a toy. And as we know, as parents, sometimes we say, play, khair, inshallah. We say, we're going to get it, right? We just want to go. We want to get out of the house. So, but this kid, khalas, he registered. What? There's a promise now from Baba that when he comes back from his lecture, he's going to bring me a toy. So the sheikh, he went and gave the lecture. And mashallah, if somebody lectures, it's a lot of energy. People asking questions afterwards. He just wants to now get home and go to sleep. He forgot all about the promise he made to his son. As soon as he comes in the house, his son didn't forget the promise. He runs to the door. He said, Baba, where's my toy? He said, Ma'alish, I forgot. He said, I forgot. He said, tomorrow, inshallah. Bukhara, I'll do it for you, inshallah. He wants to go to sleep, wants to rest. The little boy said, Astaghfirullah. He said, you get on the minbar and you advise people to be honest and to be good, and you lie to me. SubhanAllah. The sheikh, he said, I immediately put my jacket or whatever back on. So I went back out the house to make sure I bought the toy and came back home so I could keep my promise. Something might seem small, but it has a huge impact on his life, on your children, and even on you. Because then these little things, it helps you when it comes to the big commitments as well, because you're always fulfilling your commitments and always fulfilling your promises. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the third thing, وَأَدُّوا إِذَا تُمِنْتُمْ, and to fulfill the trust if you're entrusted with something. If you have an amana, you're in charge of something, you're entrusted with something, that you fulfill it. And when you look at the ayat in Surah Al-Mu'minun, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes those who are successful, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, the believers have been successful. And Allah mentions that they will be the dwellers of the Firdaus, Al-A'la, and Al-Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from them. Allah described them for us. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَعُونَ, that they are from the ones who fulfill their promises and their commitments. These are the believers who are going to be successful. And in this hadith, these two things are mentioned as ways to get to Jannah. And if you've been reflecting and thinking about these first three things, perhaps something came into your mind. And that is the famous hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he mentioned in the hadith which is narrated in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim from the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu an, Ayatul Munafiqi thalath, that the signs of the hypocrite are three. And pay attention to the three. إِذَا حَدَثْ كَذَبْ, that if he speaks, he lies. وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْلَفْ, and if he promises, he breaks his promise. وَإِذَا تُمِنَ خَانْ, and if he's entrusted with something, that he betrays that trust. The opposite of these three mentioned in the hadith. So these three, they're not just a way to Jannah, but if we do not implement them in our lives, it's the sign of hypocrisy of the munafiq. The true believer, when he speaks, he's truthful. And when he's entrusted with something, he promised or something, he does it. And when he's entrusted with something, he fulfills that trust as well. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned for us the fourth, which was وَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَكُمْ, and protect your private parts. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ, and the ones who protect their private parts, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran. These are the successful believers. And how do we protect our private parts? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran told us, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا زِنَا, do not come near az-zina, the fornication. And here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, He can stop. It's a complete sentence. Don't do it. Khalas, it's enough. And we have to fulfill it. But then Allah said, إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. He explained to us why. He said, because this zina, fornicating, it is something immoral and an evil way. And subhanAllah, when we look at the beauty of Islam, and how Islam is the last religion sent to mankind upon this earth, that every time, as the time goes on and on, we see sign after sign after sign, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows the truthfulness of this religion. When you look in this verse about staying away from zina, and you see the reality of this fahisha, of this immoral act, and this evil way, when we see it and how the diseases have spread, and how the families have been separated, and all of the evil and the corruption that it's caused upon the earth, we say, subhanAllah. Look at the beauty of Islam. Look at the message that was sent to us 1400 years ago and how powerful it is. When we see the impact of this immoral act on the societies and on the people in the days that we live in, subhanAllah. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, وَغُضُّوا أَبْصَارُكُمْ, and lower your gaze. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah An-Nur commands us, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يُغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ. Tell the believing men to lower their gaze. Don't look at haram. When you see the haram, turn away. And to protect their private parts, that is more purifying for them. Allah is well acquainted with that which they do. In this ayah, because we always, people complain, it's difficult not to be able to look at the haram. It's difficult to lower our gaze. We become weak. In fact, many of us, we don't look at it being like a big deal. Yeah, I'm just looking. I'm not touching, I'm not doing haram. I'm just looking. I saw a beautiful lady on the road. I look. I see it on TV. I see it on one of the ads. I see it when I'm watching on my computer. I'm just looking. I'm not touching. It's not a big deal. And we don't realize the dangers of not lowering our gaze. And the reason that we're falling into sin. The reason our iman is so weak. The reason that we're not able to read the Quran. The reason that we're lazy getting up for Salatul Fajr. Many times this goes back to the fact that we're looking at haram. And as we're looking at the haram, it's going into our hearts. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ, that it's more purifying for them. And the only way we can refrain from not falling into haram, protecting our private parts, it starts with lowering the gaze. That's why the first thing after lowering their gaze, وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ, and then protect their private parts. You have to lower your gaze first. And then, after that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ. They're purifying themselves. This is more purifying for them. And if we're not lowering the gaze, we're corrupting the soul. This is what we need to realize. And then we need to realize, as Allah told us in this verse, إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا يَسْنَعُونَ, that Allah is well acquainted with that which they do. That even if someone else can't see us, that Allah can see us. Allah knows what we're doing. Allah knows what we're looking at. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, a young man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said something to him that the people thought was very disrespectful. And you can imagine, even if somebody would come now and say something like that, how disrespectful we might find it. He said, إِذْن لِي بِزِنَا, give me permission to fornicate. So this young man, perhaps he looked in Islam and he liked Islam, he liked the teachings, but there's one thing, when it came to zina, perhaps he was a bit of a ladies' man or something, Allahu A'lam. But this was his issue. He said, just give me permission. That's what he wanted. Give me permission to fornicate. Now hearing this in front of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and if many of us heard something like this, what would be the first thing that we would do? If somebody came and asked the Shaykh in the lesson, can I get permission to come? Smack. Smack him, have some adab. You're in the masjid asking a question like that. But what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say to him? I want you all to reflect with me on this story. He talked to his fitrah, the natural inclination that all of us have inside. He came to him and he asked him several questions. He said, "Atardahu li ummak?" Would you like someone to do it with your mother? What was his answer right away? Of course not. No way. It's my mom, you know. And then he asked him, "Would you want someone to do it with your daughter?" All of us know how much we love our daughters. No, of course not. What about your sister? Of course not. What about your amma, your khala, your aunts? Of course not. And he said, just as you wouldn't want it done with these people, the people don't want it done with their mothers, or with their daughters, or their sisters, or their aunts. And then, alhamdulillah, he understood. So the same thing, my brother, when it comes to lowering your gaze, staying away from zina, remember this principle. When you're looking at another sister walk, you're looking at another woman walk down the street, would you want other people looking at your mother like that? Would you want them looking at your daughter like that? Of course not. So just as you wouldn't want people doing it to you, don't do it to them. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned the sixth thing, which is وَكُفُوا أَيْدِيَكُمْ, to control your hands, meaning not to harm another individual with these hands. And this is from the principles, the teachings of Islam. And the hadith which was narrated in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us, Al-Muslim. And who is the Muslim? He said the Muslim. He's going to describe for us in this hadith who the Muslim is. Al-Muslim man salama al-muslimuna min lisanihi wa min yadihi. That the Muslim is the one who the Muslims are safe from his tongue and from his hands. He doesn't curse at them. He doesn't have ill speech and say bad things to them. He doesn't harm them with his hands. In fact, the true believer, the best believer, is the one who can control his anger. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us in another hadith, also narrated in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Laysa shadidu bisur'ati wa innama ash-shadidu alladhi yamliku nafsuhu 'inda al-ghadab." That the one who is strong, it's not the one who can wrestle someone down. He can beat someone down. He can take him out with an arm bar. He can choke him out from the back. That's not the strong one. He said the strong one is the one who can control himself at the time of anger. The one who could knock you out. The one who could choke you out. But what does he do at the time of anger? He controls himself. This is the true believer. The one who controls himself at the time of anger. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, as we go home today, we need to reflect on this hadith in our lives as individuals, in our families, to see if these six principles are being implemented in our lives and our families' lives or not. And then think, subhanAllah, here, a guarantee from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we will enter into the Jannah. Obviously, that's after we fulfill the most important right, which is at-tawheed, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as one, and not to join any partners with Him. And that in all of the actions we do, we have ikhlas, sincerity for Allah, and we have mutaba'ah, that we follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If we have this, and we implement these six things, it's a way to Jannah for us. So we need to go home and ask ourselves, are we from the truthful ones? Are we from the liars? And remember the hadith of where the truthfulness leads, and where lying leads. We need to go home and ask ourselves, do we fulfill our promises, or are we from Sharikat IBM? Because most Muslims are platinum members of IBM. People don't know. People think, I have an Apple. I have a Dell. I don't. What is IBM? 99% of Muslims are platinum. I'm telling you, platinum members of IBM. Inshallah, bukra ma'alesh. When it comes to do some inshallah, bukra, I'll do it tomorrow. And then we don't do it ma'alesh. IBM. That's what most Muslims fall into. They don't fulfill the promises. They'll tell you, yeah, I'll do it. I'll do it tomorrow. And then when he comes and he didn't do it tomorrow, ma'alesh. The Muslim, if he fulfills something, he's going to do it because he promised he would do it at that time. If somebody's entrusted you with something, you fulfill that trust. That's what it means to be a believer. And that's why our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was known as a Sadiq al-Amin, the trustworthy one, the trustworthy one, the truthful one, alayhi salatu wasalam. And then to protect your private parts and to lower your gaze and to not harm anybody with your hands. Inshallah ta'ala, if you strive to implement these six principles in your life, you have a guarantee from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam that you will enter into the Jannah. ثم اعلموا رحم الله وإياكم أن الله قد أمركم بأمر بدأ بي بنفسه ثم ثنى بملائكة الكرام فقال عز وجل إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما ويقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من صلى عليها بواحدة صلى الله عليها بها عشرة اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وأنعم على نبينا محمد وارض اللهم عن الخلفاء الراشدين أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي وأنصار الصحابة أجمعين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين وذل الشرك والمشركين ودمر اللهم أعداءك أعداء الدين اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكيها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها ربنا إننا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات ربنا إنا نسألك أن تكون عونا ومعينا لإخواننا المستضعفين في كل مكان ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار